I had mentioned earlier that pitcher can speak 1,000 words or pitcher paints 1,000 words. So I tend to do a lot of PowerPoint because I found that as I am doing research for a sermon, sometimes the pitcher helps me even to understand the point I'm trying to make more. So those of you that are listening, sorry you can't see the pictures. Hopefully I'll explain clearly for you. We all know that in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 that we are saved by grace through faith. This is not from ourselves. It is God's gift so that none of us can boast. We cannot earn our way into heaven. There is nothing we can do to be good enough to spend eternity with God. It's a gift from God. Last week, Pastor Andrew talked about grace is enough. That's what gets us in. But grace, the grace of God, is made real in our lives, is made evident in our lives through our faith. You are saved by grace through faith. God's grace is given out to everybody in the world, but not all choose to believe and accept. So the faith part is important as well. So last week, Pastor Andrew talked about the grace portion. This week, we're going to look at the faith portion. When we leave here today, or if you're somewhere else listening, when you get done listening today, I want you to be able to ask yourself, can you be a hero of the faith? Last week, Pastor Andrew shared a few of the scriptures out of Hebrews chapter 11, and I forgot chapter 11 up there. Hebrews chapter 11, but we're going to look at Hebrews 11, 1 through 13 this morning. I'm going to read all that, and then we're going to break some of it down. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 13. I'm reading out of the NIV. Not much different than some of the other translations. You can read along in whatever translation you use. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. Heroes of the faith. So what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 starts right out in this portion of Scripture. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, we like the saying, seeing is believing. But if we're people of faith, then that's not the case. Seeing may help. But as we know nowadays, especially with all the media that we've got going on, people can make things look like something that it's not. So actually not seeing is truly believing, knowing that God has promised what He has promised, and then living your life in that promise. That's faith, the substance of things hoped for. Things that aren't here yet, things that you hope could happen, things that are probably better in life and for family and friends and health and whatever, that's faith. Evidence of things not seen. When we started our first church in Buffalo, there was a handful of people going, and we were sent there to try to revitalize this church, and they had just stackable chairs, and they were all stacked in the corner. I said, put them out. I don't care if there are only 10 people here. I want the chairs out. I'm going to have faith, and I'm going to start seeing the people in those chairs. That's faith. Not trying to say that I have a lot of faith, but sometimes we defeat ourselves in the things that we do. Yeah, we don't have many. We don't need all these chairs out here. And all of a sudden, we're not living in the faith that God can fill those seats. Another definition is basically this scripture kind of rewritten in some ways. Faith is not believing that God can. No, it's knowing that He will. That one hit me hard when I read it the first time. I used it in another sermon a couple years back. Because I believe God can. And maybe faith is more knowing that He will. He's going to do it. If He said it, guess what? He's going to do it. He doesn't lie. He doesn't change. Part of the problem that we have as humans, and one of my least favorite verses in the Bible, is where it says that a day is like 1,000 years to God, and 1,000 years is like a day. So when God promises me something's going to happen, I say, oh good, I'm glad. When's it going to happen? Tomorrow? And He says, yeah, and it may happen 1,000 years from now, because God's not locked in the time frames like we are. But I've got to live by faith that God says it's going to happen. I may see it, I may not. But true faith lives like it's happening right now. And I'm as guilty as others of not always living in that faith. My prayer often is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I want to be a man of faith, but it's tough. It's tough, especially when the work is hard. You guys come and you meet 2, 3, 4 people. It's tough. But God has said He wants this church, so you hang in there. That's part of how we got connected with Pastor Andrew. We were sent here to see if we could basically save the old building that had been abandoned and restart a church. And just as we almost got it finished, we had a fire. But we still believe that God wants the church to happen. And so we sit there and I maintain what's left and believing on the Lord that one day it's going to happen. I don't understand it. Hard to sell that to the big shots that want a plan and a program. But I know what God told me. And I wouldn't have moved to Vermont if He didn't mean it. And I wouldn't have put up with the fire and all the other stuff. And again, you know what I'm saying. That's why we feel we're supposed to partner with you. I think, and I'm not trying to be judgmental, not all churches live by faith. They've got a great plan, and they've got a great budget, and they live by plan and budget. And again, I'm not trying to judge, but I think we as Christians, don't live by faith the way we should. And that's why the churches aren't full, because they see it out there. And they're waiting to see God move, but until we live in faith, how can God move? Believing that God can. It's not believing that God can, but knowing that He will. Hebrews 11:7 that we just read. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The key part here I'm trying to say is, okay, Noah's building this huge, he's not building a canoe, he's not building a rowboat, he's building something bigger than ferries across the lake here, And he's not on a lake or an ocean. He's out in the middle of nowhere building this thing. If I remember right, it didn't rain yet at this point. Water, I think the earth was still watered from below. What in the world are you doing, Noah? Think of the neighbors. What are they saying? Noah, you fool. There's old crazy Noah out there cutting down them gopher wood trees. Right? But by faith, he kept doing it. Linda and I have noticed in our lives that there's different periods and phases that we go through. And we feel like we're in the Noah phase. We don't understand, but God said do it. So here we are. And people want to know. But again, the non-Christian folks see it. They understand it better than the Christian folks do, I think. Where's your plan? Where's your budget? Where's the program? And the non-Christians say, yeah, when the church is up, let me know. I think I'm going to come. Sometimes we got to hang on to the Noah faith and just start cutting gopher wood or whatever it is. I mean, cubits and all that. I mean, figure it out. But if God says it, figure it out and do it. He didn't see it. He didn't know. And I forget how many years it was he built that thing. But he continued day after day after day by faith. And believe me, he was called a fool. I know he was. Same thing with Abraham. It was by faith. Hebrews 11:8. By faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home. He went without knowing where he was going. Abraham's GPS was God. Said, okay, go that way. Okay, nighttime, camp. Wake up tomorrow. Okay, keep going that way. Nighttime, camp. Next day, okay, turn this way and go this way a little bit. He had no clue. But he knew that God said, move out. Grab your family. Grab all your things. It's time to go. God had given Abraham a promise. And to receive that promise, Abraham had to literally step out in faith. The movie, thank you. See, you knew I was going to use that one. Which one was it?
Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom. A great scene. And whenever I saw, the first time I saw the movie, I thought of faith. Because, you know, the character's always setting off booby traps. Things are always coming to hurt him and kill him. And he's got to run. He's got to get away. And all of a sudden he comes out of like a cave and there's nothing but a big cavern. And he's got to get to the other side or this thing's going to kill him. And he steps out in faith. And all the while there was a path there, but because of how the rocks all came together, it was a optical illusion. He couldn't really see it. Isn't that kind of how life is? Sometimes we just can't really see it, but we just got to step anyway. Trusting that God's got it. He's got something there for us. If I was to step here, God would say, what are you doing? Don't test me, you know. So I know he's not going to, don't be foolish in that. I'm not going to jump off of this. But if, and again, when we came to Vermont, we had heard that this church had been left vacant. We had heard that they wanted someone to come see if it was still salvageable. And there was a lot of damage. But once I heard that, I couldn't sleep at night. I finally had to say, okay, we'll go. We'll go check it out. The calling was there. That's when you step. When you can't sleep at night. When it keeps, I mean, God is pretty good at pestering you if he's got a job for you. And he will pester you. And when you answer that call, trust that he's going to provide. Because he didn't say, ha ha, I'm fooling you. He doesn't do that. Too much doesn't get done because we're too scared to step. Noah did. Abraham did. What I wanted to talk about next. 11:13. I love this one. And he talks about all, again, he listed all these folks. I think I counted 20 different instances of by faith this one, by faith that one, 20 times, boom, 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 boom. These all died in the faith, not having received the promises. Whoa, wait a minute, I thought this was about faith. Yeah, well, it was. It was their faith, knowing that God was going to do it. Remember? A day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. They all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. After the fire, again, we did a lot of work, and the building was looking good, and we had gotten, I think, 2 or 3 more things to do to be able to get insurance when the fire hit. But it was all right there. We saw it, and we were about to step into it, and then the fire. Lord, what's going on? No, I can tell the calling's not gone, but now there's not even a building. We have the foundation. I just don't understand. And yet I've got to keep going, and God is then telling me about this. Maybe it's not for this generation. Maybe we're hanging in there, and it'll be 10 years before the building gets built, and a young pastoral couple takes it to the next generation. Maybe it's the same as I'm thinking about it for God's little brown church, that you 3 and 4 keep hanging on and hanging on, and in 10 years, all of a sudden, something happens. They didn't see the promise, but they kept true to the calling so that the promise could be kept in the right time and with the right people. That's a tough one and doesn't sell. Well, hey, come be a Christian. God will give you a mission. You may never reap the benefits of it. Don't worry about that part. But come on, He's got work for you to do. Well, guess what? In eternity, we'll look back and God will say, yeah, you did well. Look what you did for this family and that family and this other family. Because you hung in there in the midst of the storms. But it sure would be nice to be easier. Another thing I like about, and this verse in the NIV says that they were strangers and aliens on the earth. But the concept being that they're different. They're oddballs in some way. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be different. Be odd. Oh, that fits right in with these guys. They were different. Most of them, this scripture had, I mean, this Old Testament, most of these guys are talking about. This hadn't been written yet, but obviously that was the concept all along. Don't do what the world does. Listen to the voice of God. Do what God tells you to do. You're going to be called an oddball. So what? You're going to live in eternity with God. I think that's the better choice. I belong to the First Church of Oddballs. I mean, yeah, and that's okay, because we're all oddballs together. Thank you, Jesus. Linda and I like this scripture so much. That's our license plate. Be odd. Obviously here in Vermont, they love it, and they're all taking pictures of it. Of course, it was an icy day, as you can see, the day I took that picture. But it gives us an opportunity to tell people, yeah, we don't have to be like everybody else. Matter of fact, we have chosen to live a life that's different, that reaps rewards even in the midst of suffering and sorrows. So God is calling us to be odd, like the heroes of the faith. All right, let me see where I'm at here. Oh, yeah, Buffalo, again, our first church. And it was interesting because being called to the ministry, we were later in life, had 4 kids when we were finishing college, had the 5th kid while we were in college. Linda, a country girl from New York, country girl from Virginia, beef cattle type area, a little bit of dairy farms. I was a New Yorker, but in the farmland, dairy farms and fruit farms. And Linda said, yeah, I'll be a pastor's wife. I think I'm called to be a pastor's wife, as long as we don't get called to the mission field. And then God sent us to the inner city of Buffalo. And when you're country folks, that's a mission field. And we learned to live by faith in Buffalo. We had no clue what we were doing. We had, at that point in the early 90s, one of the highest criminal rates in the nation in Buffalo. The big gangs out of L.A. were coming into Buffalo and trying to take over. There was murders going on and drug deals and all kinds of things. And there we are in the middle of an older congregation, small. How do we bring life back? And we knew we couldn't, but we knew God could. And He did. And as we began to finally, one family at a time, see God transform lives, these folks who at least half of the church, maybe as much as 75%, maybe had a high school diploma, maybe not even that much, very uneducated, but as they realized they meant something to God, we were able to mentor them and say, yes, you too can be a Sunday school teacher. Come alongside of me and assist me. And then eventually we'll team teach. And then eventually I'll assist you. And to watch their self-worth and the growth. And we began, you remember back in the 80s, these guys, right? The crash test dummies. We began to call ourselves the Church of the Sanctified Dummies. People who knew that, let me read the scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. God chose, and this was a theme verse of the church in Buffalo, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast. Yeah, boast before Him. See, it's all Him. It goes back to what we were saying earlier, saved by grace through faith. We can't boast. Things happen, and that's what I'm seeing for Burlington, that somehow God's going to make this happen, and it's probably going to happen. That church is going to go back up, not by another couple churches coming along or some big Christian folks. I have a feeling somehow God's going to tap into the world to make it happen. I don't understand it, but that's the faith I have, and that's what I'm walking in now. Because God does that kind of thing to show His power. How in the world did that... is God. That's all I can say. God did it. Again, that doesn't go well when I have to go sit with boards and committees and people above my head, but I've seen it over and over. And again, we became the church of the sanctified dummies. Often the term sanctified we look at as holy. And it is a holy term. But if we look at the Old Testament and the building of the temple, they were trying to get items to use in the temple. So a bowl that might have at one point been used for soup or something in the house now has been sanctified. It's been set apart for special purposes. No longer is it going to be used for the daily same old, same old. Now it's going to be used for God's glory. That's what these dummies were. Sanctified, set apart. They were weaker. They were not as smart. They were not as rich. But God used them to start bringing transformation to the community. When we left there, some of the community store owners and different people around the community said, "What's going to happen now that you're leaving?" They didn't understand that it was God and not us. But they knew that something had occurred in these people. They could see it. That's how communities get impacted. When we allow people to walk by faith, when we allow people to live out the calling that is put in their lives, not knowing if we're going to see the results right away, but trusting that God has a way to make this happen. Whew, I'm rolling now. I tend to learn by experience. Things like Buffalo help me to learn. I have a lot of scars and bruises from all the times I've learned the hard way. I left high school and ran away from God because I just had to experience life, unfortunately. And I realized, oh no, the God way is a much better way. And because I am an experiential learner, let me back up a tad again. We got to Buffalo, hardly anybody there, so, you know, like here, you have taped music or something as your music team, and I did have daughters that would sing with me, and eventually my brother moved to Buffalo to help us, and his daughters added. So we'd be building our worship for the morning, and we were doing both choruses and hymns, and sometimes the kids would say, "I want to do this song or that song," and they'd key names and little pet names for the songs, and they would often say, "Dad, we want to sing 2 Eds and a Ted." And I looked, and it is in your hymn book. It's number 288. "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." And the beauty of little things like 2 Eds and a Ted's, my kids will always remember that scripture now. I know whom I've believed. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I believe in Him, and I've seen Him doing these things, so I know He's going to continue to do it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He did for the heroes of the faith, He's going to do for you and I if we'll just trust Him and walk in faith. 2 Eds and a Ted's. That's one of my favorites. After the fire, got to preach at this real big church. Friends of mine in southwestern New York said, "Come on down and preach." Okay, I'd love to. Didn't know they had 3 services. They forgot to tell me, "Oh, we need you on Saturday night and twice on Sunday morning." It was a bigger church than I thought. And the one service, very traditional. And boy, the choir director looked at me. I said, "You can use that. It's not copyrighted. You can have the choir sing 2 Eds and a Ted." So we got to remember that Ephesians 3:20. "Now unto Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is work within us. That was a benediction, and it's often prayed in churches as a benediction. But we need to be praying it all the time. We need to be remembering it often in the morning as I'm praying and I'm thinking, I don't feel like facing this day. I can't do it today. I have to remember that my God can do it today. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And Christ is a part of the Trinity who is able to do not just more than I can think, but immeasurably more than I can think. And I'm a dreamer. Just ask my wife the projects I tell her I'll do for her, and sometimes my dream is bigger than what I can get done. But when it comes to God's stuff, He's able to do that much more by His power, because God has no limits. The limits that God has is right here. And you can't see those folks that aren't here. I'm pointing to my head. The bookends on God is our own brain. We limit the power of God because we don't always walk by faith. Because He has no limits, we got to remember that He will meet all of our needs according to His riches. And they're rich, believe me. I have no clue how rich, but I've watched Him do it. I can look at my bank account, and I don't like to. I mean, that's the way it is. I tell my wife, usually every Friday, I try to make sure all my accounts are straight and everything's good. And I hate Friday mornings, because it just never seems to be enough, and you're always trying to meet, and just as you get doing good, one of the kids has a problem and you got to help them out, and it's just, but His riches in glory. And I have to remember, okay, Lord, You've never failed me. You've never let me down. And more than once, right when I needed extra, somehow extra came. Might have meant extra work, but praise God, I was able to do extra work. God's riches in glory is how it all gets done. We're getting close to the end here, but I want to share a couple more scriptures. I get real frustrated when people take scripture out of context and preach on it, or at least live their lives by it. They'll just take one scripture out, don't look at what everything is about around it, or sometimes they even take part of a scripture. I pulled these off the internet, so it just proves that people are doing it this way. Here it says, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. That's not that whole verse, folks. All things work together for good to those who love God. That's still not that whole verse. All things work together for good for those who love God and for those who are called according to His purpose. See, there's an implication here that first off, you gotta love God. You've accepted Him. You believe He is who He is. And then you've begun to listen to His voice and received a calling for your life with the implication that you're living in that calling. You're doing the things that He's asked you to do. You're stepping out in faith, even though you may not be seeing the end results right now. So then if you're doing that, God says, everything's going to work out. Boy, let me tell you, I have to lean on this one a lot, and I'm sure Pastor Andrew does too, on the mornings when all of you are at work or something, and he comes in, he says, I know it's going to work out. God has called me to this, and I'm staying faithful to it. And that's what we're living on too. That is being a hero of the faith, folks, and we all have the ability to be that and to do that. We've looked at a bunch of scriptures. When you apply them all to your lives, it's easier then to do what 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, and that is to walk by faith and not by sight. Over the course of my life, I've got 35 years of Army time, some active, some reserve. 2004, I was mobilized and deployed to Afghanistan and did a bunch of active duty after that and served in numerous locations. The Army likes everything. Boy, it's all laid out. It's all programmed, and it's good. I mean, when you're fighting a fight and the enemy may be coming, you need to know what's next and how to do it. And I've seen churches where there's been some awesome leaders, some really great leaders, and they've developed great plans, and they put all this stuff together. But no matter how good the plan is, it's going to end up with human results often. And I'm not saying not to plan, but I've, and again, we learned in Buffalo, often we'd make a plan, and a lot of times because of life situations, things wouldn't work out just the way that the plan was supposed to make it work out. If you're not, especially if you're working like inner city, you don't have all the resources you need, whether it means financial resources or people with talent and abilities to make it get done. But what we learned was part of how God started working in our lives was to develop basically a skeletal plan. We know God wants us to go in this direction. He knows we know that there's certain steps He wants us to take. Now we just got to trust that He'll tell us when to go to that next step. We got to trust that we're not going to push it through on our own, but that as that step gets there, He'll provide the pieces we need to get it done. And as we began to back away from really forcing a schedule and a plan, we began to watch God work more. Not saying that planning is bad, but again, often man's plans develop man's results. And God's plans bring God's results. And often they're much bigger. Tough balance, but I want God stuff. kind of winding down now. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed by God's command. Again, another one of those by faith verses. He created all things with a word. We can see that it did not come from anything that can be seen. From nothing came something. I put this little box in the corner. Ex nihilo, I believe is how you say that. It's Latin. Means out of nothing. There was nothing. There was God, there was the Trinity, I'm not sure how they did what they did, but poof, all of a sudden God said, let it be, and it was. That's the God that calls us to service. That's the God that empowered these heroes of the faith as He will empower us. I got to preaching so much, I'm way behind now in my brain. So as we move through, again, he listed all these different ones. By faith, this one and that one. Samson, Barak, Gideon. Last week, I believe this was, and I had last week's bulletin too. I think this was the portion of Scripture. No, this wasn't the one that he read. What did Pastor Andrew read? Anyway, he hit some of it. He hit the ones where it said, and I don't have time to tell you about boom, to boom, to boom. And he listed all these other ones. See, the writer of Hebrews listed one after the other after the other. He wanted us to be sure that we knew that it wasn't by their own might. It wasn't by their own power. It wasn't by their plans. That phrase, by faith, occurs 19 times, or actually total 20 times, just in the first, I think it is, 13 verses. And then again, the 32 through 40 is what Pastor Andrew read last week. That wraps it up and said there's so much more. And yet verse 39 says that they never received the promise. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Boy, that makes you want to just sign right up, doesn't it? But yet they did it. They hung on to it because, well, we sang earlier, better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Better to please the Lord. Better to know that your conscience is clear. As I pray, I say, Lord, I hope I'm doing right. I want to be able to stand before you one day and hear you say, well done. You know, I may not always get the results, but am I doing what you asked? That's the key, because the results often are what we think they're supposed to be. And maybe God's got a different plan. Again, for next generation. So as we look at, in closing now, we look at how some of this often doesn't make sense. We need to realize and remember and understand Isaiah 55:8-9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. These guys worked hard. They did the thing that God asked them to do. Most of them didn't see the end results. And yet they continued to press on. The story of God's little brown church is a story of faith. Some days the picture may be clearer than others. But keep seeking the Lord. Keep pressing onward in the mission that He's given you, that He has given you. In your own personal life, same thing. Lord, what is it that I am to do? Maybe there's just one person, someone you see at the store, maybe someone in the neighborhood, that you're just supposed to continue to show love. Just very simply, help them when they need help. Just to be there for them. That may be the calling that God has on your life right now. Be faithful. Because yes, folks, Hebrews 11 is the heroes of the faith. But I think that's there so that we can, so that we're reminded that we too can be heroes of the faith. Father, we thank you for the fact that you not only adopt us into your family as your children, but that you choose to use us. You spoke the world into existence existence. You could speak all these other things to happen, but you said, no, I want to use my kids. I want them to feel a sense of accomplishment. I want them to grow and mature. I want them to know that I love them so much, I trust them with this. Father, I pray that we will strive to live our lives in a way that brings you glory and honor, that you will be pleased with the things that we do and say, because one day we will stand before you. And Lord, it's our prayer that we could hear you say, well done. Lord, may your words just resonate in our hearts and minds throughout the week, and may we strive to surrender daily to that which you would have us to do, empowered by your Spirit to bring you glory and honor. And we ask this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I forgot what our last song is, but we've got one more song. I hope it's a good one. Oh yeah, in heavenly armor. And this scripture talks, put on the whole armor of God, and having done all to stand. Sometimes we just gotta stand. Armor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and praise to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. Presses in heart, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. Glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord.
We're all supposed to go to the beach now. All right, Father, we do thank you for meeting with us here this morning. We ask, Father, that, well, we know that your presence never leaves us. So I pray that as we leave here, we will be sure to let that light shine, that others will see something about us. Maybe they won't understand, but there will be this heavenly glow, so to speak, because of our lives. Let the joy that is you. May the peace that passes understanding, may all the very fruit of the Spirit and all the essence of who you are flow from our pores into those around us. Give us a good week. Help us to be safe in our travels and the things that we do. And may others see Jesus in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.